two quick announcements for you guys. One is the children could go back with Jennifer. She's back there, I think, looking for the children. Where are your children? I think they're in the cafeteria. But anyways, we are doing a membership meeting, and a membership meeting is not a Bible study. It is more of just the church coming together and really hearing what the vision of the church is, what the church pledges to you, and what we would ask you to pledge back to the church. And that's what a membership meeting is. It's a one-time meeting, and we're going to be providing food for everyone, and it will be at the clubhouse right after church next week. And we would love for all of you to come out, and the address we will tell you next week, and we'll send it out in an email. It's probably better if we do it that way, because you'll probably forget it if I say it now. But we'll send that email out for you. And we're also passing around a Bible study sign-up sheet. We're going to have two different ones. There's going to be one on Tuesday night at 7, and that's going to be Jason and Vicky's. And the address we will also send out in an email. And then the second one will be on a Wednesday night, and that's going to be at 6:30. And Rob and Cam will be leading that, and Brian will also be assisting heavily in that. So we're going to pass that out, and if you could just sign up. Led on my heart to do a message that I did maybe a year and a half ago at the last church that I served at, but I felt that it was really appropriate just for where we were at as a church. And we're in a series called Taking the Next Step, and we're doing this series because we believe that God has called this church and you individually to see great things. And I believe that God is calling us, and we talked about this last week, to step out and become a light on a hill. To turn the city upside down and to see an explosion of people worshiping him and just making much of Jesus. And it's always been on my heart just to be a part of something where we see the sick made well, physically and spiritually, where the hungry are fed and the broken are restored, those who are wounded are cared for, where the gospel really is just whole life altering. And that's the vision that God has placed here, and I think it's what he expects of us. I think it's what he's called his church to be. And I believe that God has placed so much talent and so many abilities in this room that it's just unbelievable. And you guys are some of the most serving people I've ever met. And it's just an awesome thing to serve with you. And as I was praying with God, though, he put something on my heart. He said, "Tim, do you really want that to happen? Like, do you really want these things?" Because it's really easy to stand up here and say we want these things to happen, isn't it? Like, it requires no effort whatsoever for me to say, man, I would really like God to do miracles. Like, there's no effort or faith involved in me saying that. There's no effort in me saying, really, we want to turn the city upside down. There's no effort involved whatsoever. And really, I could get up here and really just give lip service to that all I want it to, and it would make no difference. And the thing he was really speaking to me is that it's going to upset your comfort. It's going to upset your schedule. It's going to bring some stress and put you in uncomfortable situations with people that are uncomfortable. And he really asked me, do you want that? And I think he's asking all of us as a church, do we want that? Do we want to be a church that actually makes a difference, or do we want to give lip service to it? And I think really that's the point of this series is are we going to take the next step? Are we as a church going to go all in and put it all on the line? And you see, there's a lot of risk involved in greatness. I mean, you guys know that. If it was easy to become great, everybody would be doing it, you know? I mean, there would be nothing spectacular about it. It wouldn't be great if it wasn't involving risk, if it wasn't involving everything. And this morning, that's what I want to challenge us to, because our church is going to have to risk a lot of things to really become what God wants us. We're going to have to risk comfort. We're going to have to risk finances and maybe not make the best financial plan, because it requires money to reach the lost. It requires money to reach the community, and we're going to have to put ourselves on the line for that. We're going to have to risk opinions of the church. It's not always popular to reach people who aren't pretty people. It's not popular to do that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we will be uncomfortable around some of the people that come in here. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we really willing to totally surrender to whatever God's calling is on the church? Are we really willing to reach whoever God puts in our path? And it's a question that we have to wrestle with. And if you would, we're going to be in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, and it's one of my favorite passages. And if you would, just turn there. We'll put it on the screen if you forgot your Bible. And I'll start reading it. It says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey." Now, let me give you some background and confront a misunderstanding of this text. The man going on a journey is Jesus, okay? And after he died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead, he went to the right hand of God and is now waiting until his redemption plan is fully carried out. So Jesus called his servants together, that would be me and you and his church and other churches, and he entrusted property to them. And what he is saying is, I've created you and entrusted you with time, talent, money, family, and I have given you to them to steward for my kingdom, to make a difference. And within this, this is the exciting promise that God trusts you, and you're not just something he tolerates, but someone that he trusts and he loves. Heard a story about a father who was building a deck, and his daughter came to him and wanted to help. And if you're a father, you've seen your kids come to you before and ask to help. It's not helpful at all, usually, if they're of a certain age, and they come up to you and want to help something around the house, and you're in your mind like, man, I could probably knock this out 4 times faster if you didn't help. And so the father's thinking this, you know, basically, I could knock this out faster. But he lets his daughter help. And at the end of it, his daughter comes up to him and is like, me and daddy built the deck. And I love the message within that. Let's be honest, God doesn't need us. God doesn't need us to accomplish anything because he's so big. But he wants us to participate. He wants us to make a difference. And without us stepping in, if we spend our life playing with toys and trinkets instead of helping our father build a deck, our life is going to mean nothing. And some of us in here, that's what we're doing. We're spending our lives on toys and trinkets instead of jumping in and helping our Father build something great, build something worthy of praise, build something that we can stand back and say, me and my Father built that. Me and my Father made a difference. Me and my Father accomplished something profound. And that's what life's all about. When we die and get up to heaven, we're going to regret some of the things that we've done. We're going to regret that. And part of God's word is a calling to remember, what are you living for? What are you spending your life upon? Now, I want to confront something in this text that I think, if we're honest, most of us think this. When we read this, a lot of times we think, man, I'm the 1 talent person. Isn't that usually what jumps to your mind? We think it's arrogant to think I'm the 5 talent person, in fact. But I want to sort of confront that. Most of us in here have a fully functioning brain with creative possibilities. The world works for $1 a day. Most of the world doesn't have clean drinking water. If you lost your job, you would have more money than that, and you would have more privilege in America than most of the world has. And I really want to say we're not 1 talent people in this church. God has given us influence. God has given us talents in this room that many people don't have. And I want to call us to that. We're not a church that's filled with a lack of influence. We're reverberating with talent and influence. And God has gifted this church in such a profound way. And I want to propose the idea that you and I are uniquely crafted by God to do extraordinary things. You're not just someone taking up space. You're more than that. And you know, I've heard it so many times, I don't have talent. And maybe I would sit down with you and have a long conversation over a cup of coffee, and I would ask you some questions and really investigate your background and just, you know, what you've done over your life and accomplished. And maybe I would sit down with you, and at the end of our conversation, maybe I would go, you know what, you're right. You have no talent whatsoever. You are so ungifted. and so incredibly useless. Like, how did you even begin to exist for so long? And that's never happened before. But really, I think the problem is we have a misunderstanding of greatness. Greatness isn't the ability to wow people. It's not a 401k or net worth or singing ability, leadership. Greatness is advocating for orphans and widows. That's greatness. Greatness is feeding the hungry and caring for the elderly. Greatness is loving those scarred by abortion, people who have nothing. That's greatness. Greatness is not defined by what you own. Greatness is the ability to look at someone who is broken and dirty and say, I love you and I see potential in you and I'm willing to love you and serve you no matter how you treat me, because within you there is someone who God could use to move mountains. That's greatness. Greatness is a passion that says Christ died on the cross for my sins and I'm willing to cross a sea, I'm willing to cross my neighborhood and tell anyone about that. That's greatness. Greatness is an idea that says life is temporary, my money doesn't belong to me and I'll spend it to help those in need because I'm not going to take it with me. That is greatness. We have misdefined greatness in our culture. Greatness is saying, I'll clean up chairs, I'll help with children's church, I'll serve in any way I can in the house of God, whether someone recognizes me or not. That is greatness. And I think all of us can do that. I think all of us have the potential for greatness inside of us. And that's what Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to give you a higher net worth. That's not his calling on your life. He might bless you with that so you can give it away. But that's not his calling on your life. His calling is to call you to truly be greatness, where it says greatness is serving one another, making yourself a servant to people who don't have anything. And I'm so excited about our service ministry because honestly, that's what God's called our church to be. God hasn't called our church to go after people who have tons and tons of money. That's not our calling. Our church is not called to be a suburban church that tries to aesthetically please everyone and make that kind of difference. Our church has been called to go out in the streets. Our church has been called to go out with people who can benefit us not an ounce. That is the calling of the gospel. And that's why we're launching February 13th. I've been promoting it over and over again because really it's the most important thing our church could ever be, is our church is going all in terms of serving people. We're going to be starting a street ministry. We're going to be making efforts with the foster care system. We're going to be setting up a service to where we are serving the elderly. And we're asking you to participate in that. We're running it through our small groups, our youth group, and through our church in general. And everything in our church will be geared towards, in some way, promoting our efforts in the community. And that's what our church has got to be faithful to the calling that Jesus has put on us. We cannot simply give lip service to it. We cannot do that. I cannot be a part of a church that does that. And I'm praying that you'll join me in saying, I don't want to be a part of a church that's not active in the community, that's not active in making a difference. Because our time is short here. Our lives are not going to go on forever. And we have to put everything we have. It reminds me, if I can sort of lighten it for a minute, of Captain Planet. Do you guys remember Captain Planet? Captain Planet, he's our hero, gonna take pollution down to zero, gonna help us put a stop. I've been accused of having a great voice before from my wife. I'm trying out for Idol when it comes back to Greensboro. But I remember that's one of the greatest heroes that has ever graced our planet. We can all agree on that. I mean, it's not upsetting anyone for me to say that. It's probably a popular statement. We are so indebted to the service that he's given to our planet. And I remember as a kid just loving that song and just really going crazy of it. And I remember the end of it was my favorite. It's like, you can be a planeteer. You can be one too. Saving our planet is the way to go. And I love that. And Captain Planet would come out at the end and he'd be like, the power is yours. And I'd get so excited and hold my ring up about Earth or whatever my particular power was. And I would say it with him. But I say that completely stupid story to say one thing, that when you're in Christ, you really do have the power in you. Amen? You really do have the power that raised Jesus from the dead inside of you. And for us as Christians to walk around and not try to make a difference is completely ridiculous. Like, I can't say that enough. You're not just a person who has to walk around in fear and trembling, to be overwhelmed by the situations, because there's greatness inside of you. You can see mountains move. You can overcome sin. You can take great risk and see God move mightily on our behalf. In Matthew 25, it goes on, 16 through 18. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. The man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And I love this because it shows what happens when we risk for God. I believe God is going to multiply our abilities to do things in this church. Our God is a God of multiplication, and when we go all in, putting our service ministry at the front of making the gospel not just word but deed, when we go all in, we believe that God is going to multiply our small efforts and completely transform this city. Because our God is not an ordinary God. Our God is a God of multiplication. Amen? And he's a God who says, dream big and go for impossible things. Like when we go for our foster care system, we're not just trying to get 2 or 3 kids adopted. That is a small vision. We are trying to completely change the entire foster care system to where there's not 1 kid left who's not been adopted. Our goal is not just to serve 1 or 2 elderly people. Our goal is for each elderly person in the nursing home that we want to adopt to feel the love of Christ daily and to have no doubt that Christ loves them. That is our goal. Our goal is not just to feed and clothe 1 person on the street every Christmas. Our goal is not that. Our goal is to completely transform poverty in the city of Greensboro. That is our goal, and we have to dream big, because it insults God when we don't dream big. It insults God when you have a vision for your life that says, man, I just want to make it through the day and get a lot of money. That insults God, because God has something incredible for you, and he doesn't want you to settle. Our God is a God of revival, a God who wants to change an entire generation. Our God says, you put me first in any situation, and I will completely revitalize and bring life into that situation. I will take care of your finances, of that sin, of the relationship, and I will use everything around you to do that. Some of you have begun to settle, amen? Some of you have begun to believe that God can't move in your finances, that God can't overcome that sin. I want to respectfully say that you're wrong. God can, and he will. And you've dug a hole in the ground and you've buried your talent. You said, when I get out of this situation, I will begin to make a difference for God. When I get at this point of my life where I have more finances, when I have more time, I will make a difference for God. I want to respectfully say that's got to change for us to take the next step. That has to change, because the time is now, and you are not promised tomorrow. Each one of us could die right now. The only reason we're still existing is that God puts breath inside of our bodies. And you've heard the stories. The time is not promised to you, and the time is now. We have to go all in as a church and as individuals. Maybe he's called you. I really want you, when we go February 13, I really want you to have already prayed what particular aspect of our church you want to serve in. Has God called you to advocate for orphans and widows? I want you to pray about that. I want you to pray about getting involved. Has he prayed for you to go out on the street and share the good news with people, to put together gift packets for people and to serve them and to give financially towards that ministry? Is that what he's called you to do, to put on big events? When we did Rock the Block, part of the vision that God's given us is to eventually do Rock the Blocks, where we do big events and really bring free meals to our community and really bring in speakers. What has God called you to participate in? What is he calling you to? Has he called you? Has he given you a burden for the elderly? What has he called you in? And we really want you to pray about that. So when we roll that out February 13th, you're not saying, I wonder what I'm called to, but you're saying, I know God has called me to this. And that's what we're asking you to pray about. And I love this passage because I feel the fear rise up in me too. When God calls me to make a difference, I feel it rise up in me. I remember when God told me to start this church, and I had to give up, at that time, I had to give up half my salary, eventually all of my salary. I had to miss paychecks to make it happen. And I was really just gotten married, and I'm like, man, I'm called to support my family, and I'm not right now because every check I'm making is less and less. And everyone left. The entire ministry that we had left except for four people. And it was entirely scary. It was completely ridiculous. And I remember being so freaked out. And God called me to make decisions that would lose people. He called me to sacrifice and give money that I did not have and still don't have. But I knew when God called me to start this church that we serve a God of multiplication. And that God told me in my heart that this church would see great revival. And that's why we started it. And I want to speak to you today. God can do miracles with a mustard seed. And what he's calling this church and you individually is that if you can muster up a mustard seed of faith, the smallest seed known, that your entire life can be changed today. If you can just muster up the faith to ask God for something profound, your entire life can be changed. The entire destiny of this church can be changed if you can muster up the faith just to ask God. What's on your heart that God's calling you into? What's he calling you to step out into? What situation do you feel is too big that you're struggling with? Don't hide in the ground. You're more than a conqueror in Christ. Don't hide in the ground. He can completely change your family. He can completely change your situation. Don't hide in the ground. Amen. Verse 19. I love this verse. Could you go one more? I actually skipped that one. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And I want to ask you a question. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. But this is a question you need to answer. Are you ready for Jesus to come back? I just want to let that sit. Like, if he came back tomorrow, would you be happy that he was back? Would you be ready to face him and give an account for what you've done with what he's given you? Would you be ready for that? Would the way you spend your money, use your time, your commitment to his church, your commitment to serving those outside of his church, would you be happy with what you spent it on? The way that you lead your family, would you feel proud of it? And I don't say this to guilt you, because I have to answer the same question, and I failed so many times it's not even funny. I mean, you could just bring out a list that would be unending when you look at my sins. So I don't say this like I'm better than you. Hear my heart. But God loves you and wants to change your life today. He wants to bring you into a path of greater freedom, meaning, and joy. And the first step to that is repentance. The first step that is going before God and say, God, I haven't used my time the way you want me to. I haven't used my money the way you want me to. And I'm coming before you and I'm all in. Whatever you want. When I was in high school, my friend and I snuck out on vacation. And I don't know if you guys remember that, Mom and Dad, but we had come up with this elaborate plan to fool my parents because my 16-year-old mind was practically at genius level at that time. And I remember we made a person in the bed. Have you guys ever done that before? We set the pillows up. Hopefully this isn't giving anyone ideas. If your kid does that, please don't blame me. We set up a person in bed and we put a gorilla head and a duck head on the other one. And we snuck out the window. And I remember being so exhilarated because this was the night I was going to find my true love at Myrtle Beach. And I remember going out and saying a few pickup lines like, hey, sweet legs, and what you doing, girl? You know the deal. And so I remember coming back in and after being very unsuccessful with those lines and being laughed at quite a few times. And I remember my parents sitting there at the window, seeing me sneak back in, holding the gorilla head in their hands. And I remember the feeling of fear. Have you guys ever had that? Do you remember growing up, the feeling of fear and the sinking thing in your stomach, like, oh, crap, man, my parents caught me. Like, this is terrible. And I remember feeling that feeling inside of me. But the thing that stuck out to me was yeah, they corrected me, as any good parent would do. But I remember the relief they felt when I was back inside and the love they had for me. And I tell you that because God's word to you today is, yes, you may have gone astray. Yes, you may have acted up, and you need to confess that. But he's holding his arms out, not with guilt, not with this attitude where you have to make up because you failed, but an attitude that says, I forgive you of your sins, and I love you. And you don't have to be afraid and filled with shame and fear, wondering if I still love you. You can come home, amen? It goes on in verse 20 through 23, if you would put it on the screen. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And some of you today, you feel underappreciated. God's been revealing that to me as I've spoken, is that some of you have been faithful. Some of you have gone all in. You put everything on the line for Jesus, and you're not feeling the increase. Amen? You've gone completely all in, and you feel abandoned. You feel like God has forgotten about you. You've prayed so many times that your knees hurt. You're frustrated. And let's be honest, there's even some anger mixed in there, some bitterness. And you wonder, God, why haven't you redeemed my situation? Why haven't you changed things? Why haven't you given me that relationship? Why have you allowed me to experience heartbreak? Why have you done this to me? And I know that that's where some of us are at today. Where's the increase? And God's word that he put on my heart to say to you is that he's saying to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You ever seen something refined and made, like metal refined and made something out of? It's not really complicated. It's not really something I have to explain deeply. But basically, you put the metal in the fire and you have to get out the imperfections first. And then you got to weld, sculpt, and do, I'm not an expert in this, so I don't know exactly what you have to do, but you begin to craft it together and make something profound, and it's not something that happens overnight. And the word that God put on my heart that he wanted me to tell you today is that's why it's hard sometimes, is because we want it now, don't we? We want to be out of that struggle. We want something immediate, but God's after more than your temporary joy. And yeah, you're going to have to suffer a little bit. You're going to have to go through the fire because he's doing something great in you. Greatness doesn't just come from snapping your fingers. Greatness comes from someone being refined in the fire. And if you're willing to submit to God's work in your life and you're willing to accept where he's bringing you, the end product is going to be so profound and so overwhelmingly beautiful that you will praise God. I remember all the things he's taken me out of with lust and getting drunk. I would do it over and over again, and I prayed about it, and just all the different things that I would pray about. And I look back and praise God now. See, we've got some junk in us. You have lived faithfully, but you've got some junk in us. We all do. Amen? And he's got to hammer it out. He's got to refine you. And the fire's getting really hot. Some of you feel it really hotly on your life. and you don't think God hears your prayers, but the change is coming, the blessing is coming. You just got to stay in the fire a little longer. In Ephesians 2:10, I love this passage because it really talks about being refined. It says, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you. And he's at work right now, and he'll carry it to completion. And he's about you becoming a blessing to the world. And for you to bless the world, you have to have something to offer. You have to go through the fire. It's in the fire that the blessing is made and prepared. It wasn't overnight that David went from being a shepherd to the king. Amen? It wasn't overnight that Joseph went from being prisoner to decision maker in Egypt. Amen? Didn't happen overnight. But that leads to the question, are you being faithful in your situation? Are you going to accept where God has placed you? Maybe you don't have the job that you want. Maybe you don't have the time that you want. Maybe you don't have the finances that you want. Maybe you're not in that relationship that you feel that you should have. Are you going to accept where you're at? Maybe there's a struggle that you feel like you can't get out of and you prayed over and over again. Are you going to accept where you're at and say, God, I need you to deliver me, but I'll serve you even if I struggle with this the rest of my life? Are you willing to accept where you're at? Or are you complaining? And I want you to ask yourself that. God was speaking to me this morning, and I was frustrated about something I felt entitled to. And he reminded me, I don't owe you anything. We're not owed anything but all how we serve a God who loves to give. Are you going to accept where you're at? Do you honor God with your lifestyle, with your money, with your situation? Or have you buried yourself in the ground? I've heard so many people complain over the years about their job, their role in the church, their situation in life, their finances, but are you worthy of a promotion? Like at this point, the way that you're being faithful in this situation, are you worthy of being promoted to something greater? Because God's not going to promote you until you're ready. It's like going into a business. Would you promote the guy that just complained all day? And maybe God's word to you today is, and it might sting a little bit, but maybe his word to you today is, I have a blessing for you, but I need you to be faithful where you're at before I bring the increase. Amen? I need you to stop complaining and saying you'll honor me when your situation improves. I need you to stop saying that you'll spend more time and money when you have it, but I need you to put me first with what I've already given you. Because then you'll be ready to have the increase. Verse 24 through 30. I don't know if I can read that. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. Here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside in the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think this passage is saying two things, and it's something that we need to reflect about. The first one that it's saying is this. If you're faithful in the small things, he's going to multiply your time, your influence, and your money because he can trust you. He trusts you that he can give you money and you won't spend it just on yourself, but that you'll make it a blessing. That when he gives you extra time, you'll spend it on people who need your time, not just on more vacations. But if you live for yourself, you're going to lose everything. You guys like going to the doctor? I hate going to the doctor. It's something about the needle. You guys know what I'm talking about? The needle. When they pull out the needle, it scares me beyond belief. I don't know how to explain it, but the sight of blood, I can't even watch those shows on TV like Grey's Anatomy. That's out of my comfort zone. I can't do it because of the blood. I cannot do it. And I'm the guy in there who the nurse has to comfort and reassure and say, honey, it's going to be okay. It's going to just hang in there, sit in the chair, you know, and sometimes I feel like I need to be strapped down to the chair. And it's ridiculous. I hate going to the doctor. And it never hurts, but I just hate the idea of them sticking a needle in me. And I don't know if you guys know how vaccinations work. Have you guys ever? It's really not complicated either. But basically, they give you a little bit of disease, okay? And so basically, you get immunity, and your body builds up resistance to it. And so that's what they're doing when they're putting that needle in you. And God put a word on my heart about the last part of this passage, is that's how some of us are with Jesus. We have just a little bit of him, but just enough to be resistant to the whole thing. We've gone in a little bit. We have a Christian necklace, maybe. We, you know, have a, you know, the big family Bible on your thing with your name signed in it. You have that on your table, but you're not all in. And the beautiful part of this passage is it's an opportunity to ask yourself, do you know Jesus? And I wrote a couple things down that I wanted to read. Is your heart about wanting to serve? About giving to the Lord and his church and the needy? About wanting people to know Jesus? Is there a desire to flee from sin, to submit to his word? Is there something in you that loves Jesus and no matter what happens to you, you can't get away from him because you're in love with him? Is there something in you that just draws you to the name of Jesus? Is there something in you that's like that? Because if that's not your experience, what this passage is saying is maybe something's off. Maybe something's off and you haven't given your life fully to Christ. And maybe you're not a believer. Just because you prayed a salvation prayer doesn't mean you're a believer. There's no written salvation prayer in the Bible. The evidence of your salvation is that you have a heart that lives to please Jesus. And let me clarify that. I'm not talking about perfection. Because I struggle with so much. Boldness, insecurities, fear, idolatry, lust, giving. There's all that in me. But what I'm saying is there something unexplainable in you, the Holy Spirit, that makes you hate sin, that breaks your heart for people who don't know Christ, that stirs you to give beyond your means for his kingdom? Is there something in you that you can't explain? Not your righteousness, but a righteousness from somewhere else. And if that's not your experience, you need to get right with God while you still have time. You need to pray to him and confess your sin and receive him as your Savior. Because it says, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. With Jesus, if 95% is 5% too little, are you 100% in with Jesus? Could you say right now, Jesus, take anything from me. I'm all in. I give you everything that I have. And I don't care what it cost me, because your beauty is so much more than I can even handle. Is that where you're at with God? This passage is a call to repentance. It's an exciting passage of what God can accomplish with a life fully devoted to him. It's a call for us to get outside of ourselves and make a difference in the community. It's a call for us to accomplish great things. It's a call for us to examine our life and say, have I used my talents for your good? And my question to you as we go is, God has given you talent. What are you going to use it on? God's word to you today is he loves you like crazy, and he's heard your prayers, and he's got you. He's faithful, and you can be safe with him. You are safe in his arms. You are safe in his love, and you are secure. And God wants to lovingly lead you to something better than what you have right now. And he's asking you to trust him right now. Anyone who trusts in the name of the Lord will never be put to shame. It says that in the Psalms. Trust in the Lord so that your life will actually mean something. Trust in the Lord so that you can see great things. and pray with me about February 13th as we begin to get all the pieces in place for where we feel God is calling this church to go. Father God, you love your people like crazy. Your love is an everlasting love, and you're holding people right now, God. Your arms are open so wide, and there are people in here today that need an embrace. There are people in here that are sad, that feel no hope. And God, I pray that you would encourage them right now, because your word is encouraging. God, I pray that you would remind them how faithful you are. Remind them how much you love them, and remind them how beautiful they are to you, God. That you see them not full of sin and shame, but you see them with the righteousness that your Son has. And that when you look upon them right now, you're saying, I'm well pleased with you. And I take great joy and great pride in knowing that you're my son or daughter. And Father God, we want to pray right now for anyone who hasn't received Christ as their Savior, God. Stir it in their hearts and let them confess their sins and receive you as your Savior. Father God, I also want to pray for where you've called this church to go. You've called us to make a difference in this community. I pray you would bless the plans that we're putting together right now, and that you would stir the hearts of the people and tell them where you want them to serve in this. Tell them what you want them to be a part of, God, because our church is not a church of retreat or a church that stays inside walls. But our church is a church that advances, that destroys the power of darkness in people's lives, that breaks the captives free and frees people from bondage. That is the calling you placed on this church. God, let us spend everything we have to impact this community. Let us pour our lives into this mission of seeing this world change, God, because you want to do miracles. You want to do great things here, God, and we're believing on you for that. Speak to the hearts of your people, and we thank you that you're a faithful, beautiful God. In your name, amen.
All of my old Just pray that in your holy and perfect name. Hope you have a good week. Amen.